Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban to this edition of Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online. Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just completed our segment on Palestine and, you know, the relationship of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam with this blessed land. We will now be crossing over to our brother Ahmad Parak. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ahmad Parak.
With another fine day, Mulana, alhamdulillah, there's only one disappointment. All of my followers, your followers, are waiting for the broadcast of last week. We have not received yet. So, inshallah, today give our beloved technicians, as soon as we finish the show, that if you can give us last week as well as this week's broadcast, so the guys, especially in the UK and Canada and Australia, wait for your segment on a Saturday morning, Molana.
Inshallah, I will check up with the technician and then send whatever is available. For now, let us discuss if there are any new developments regarding, you know, our kafan and dafan issues.
Jim Olana, I was yesterday with you know, one of the Durban most busiest burial service, Durban and Overport. He does mainly the Durban and surrounding. He's one of the biggest in Durban, Ibrahim Randeri. You know, I was invited for lunch, and he was there, so he wanted to see me. So we had a long chat regarding some of the issues that he is facing on the ground, especially in the mortuaries, that, you know what he says, that, you know, we need to now regularize as far as this post-mortem is concerned. The community is making a big hoo-ha about why is it that we're not getting our body in time in terms of the standing orders, what we have. If the body is there 7 in the morning and if he's there by at latest 5 o'clock in the evening, the post-mortem should be done. Now, I did explain to him that the issue is with the Department of Health, Justice Department, because they do not have, firstly, the manpower, secondly, they don't have the pathologists, thirdly, the facility is overcrowded in terms of untrained bodies, so therefore there is a huge problem in our Durban and surrounding mortuaries, and this is a big issue. So I did tell him that, you know what, give me a letter from your organization, and also we speak to Islamic Burial Council, Salim Qazi, to give us a letter. We can meet him and set up a meeting so that we can iron out these issues. That because we are ratepayers, and it's a service delivery issue, and in terms of our right of religion, right of culture, in terms of our constitution, they have to give us what we require. So this is an issue that we'll be bringing shortly. And I'm going to take it head on again with the Department of Health and Justice to make sure that this exercise has been taken care of. And we are at a very advanced stage in terms of the X-ray machines, and we are having issues, especially with the Justice Department. All the other departments, more or less, have, in principle, have agreed that they are prepared to work with this year, and they were worried whether there will be any job losses or anything. We think there will not be any job losses. Only thing, it will expedite the issue at getting our Muslim bodies and all your bodies as well, the non-Muslim bodies, quick as possible. So they are looking at it now. Let's see what happens, inshallah.
Now, regarding the lack of pathologists, is it due to, the country lacking skilled personnel, or it's just that they do not want to employ? Because we know sometimes they do some things that are strange, like there are local people, you know, that are qualified physicians doctors, and they still went and brought people from Cuba.
No, Maulana, in this case here, these vacancies have been applied on a yearly basis for pathologists. Now, there's two entities, three entities in the department for government department when you get a postmortem done. One is the public works where they own the property of the where the postmortems are taking place. Secondly, the Department of Health is involved. They do the administration and picking up the bodies from various hospitals, accident scenes, road and beaches or whatever it is. And the third component of this year is the Department of Justice. Now, the Justice Department actually supplies you with the doctors, which they call the pathologists, to come and do the postmortem. Now, in this case here, there is doctors around, but they'll go to the hospital to work, but they're not prepared to come and work at the government mortuaries. Because you know what happens, Maulana, each pathologist is only allowed to do 3 postmortems a day. And sometimes you have 6 or 8 postmortems. He only does these 3 and he goes away to his office, because otherwise they go, you know, a lot of these pathologists are not going cuckoo, and the workforce also go, they take early. They bought themselves early as quick as possible and go and sit at home after serving maybe 15 years or 10 years, because the mind and everything, you know, is not an easy job at especially pathology level. So that is the reason a lot of these doctors, they say they rather go and study and become surgeons and go and become private doctors or in hospital, go and serve hospital the articles and then go in practice on their own. So this is the problem. They don't want to come to the mortuary environment. That is, it's not a healthy environment. That is the problem we are faced with. In fact, not only Muslim doctors don't want to come, non-Muslim doctors, and then the black doctors who qualify, they are ready to do post-mortem, but they do not want to come and work in the government mortuary. That is the problem.
Okay, now going to our local politics, there seems to be some duplication of work. And, you know, just this doesn't make sense, because wasn't this discovered a long time ago? And here I'm talking about the CPW, what's that, Presidential Working Community, Committee, and the Section 54. It has only been discovered now at this point that there is duplication after, you know, the Section 154 is they already have a report prepared and ready for presentation end of the month. We hear that there was actually duplication. Now, there's one statement that I've read in one of the articles in the Mercury. The Presidential Working Group is led by ANC heavyweight Mike Mabuyakulu, and composed of a variety of experts in business and governance. The formation of this team was never out of legitimate concerns for the city. One of its primary objectives was to find grounds to remove the current city manager, Musa Mbele. Keep in mind that the ANC has publicly said it did not advocate for Mbele to be appointed to the position, and many in the party will regard him as being appointed by former Deputy Mayor Filani Mavundla, said the source. Now, if this is true, then, you know, an enormous taxpayers' money is being squandered because of the vested interest of some parties. Now, is it true that, you know, the ANC is actually doing this for this reason, to get that man out?
Well, there's two aspects to your question. Number one is, first and foremost, before election, Section 154 was implemented by the provisional government. Provisional government, national government can only introduce Section 154. What is Section 154? It gives you part control, and the other part control is by the province or national government. Then you get the Section 139. 139, it takes away all your powers away from the city, and it's being controlled either by province, which they will appoint three-man committee or national will do that, and this is what happened. So coming back to your question, the first 154 was introduced by the provincial government, and they said, okay, fine. We accepted it as council that we are under 154 at the moment, section 154, partly controlled by the, they will keep a watch on this section. Whatever we do, we need to get clarity from the provincial government or national government, and this is the implementation of 154. Now, what they did was we started the section 154, and that's what we were doing. Then, subsequently, what happened, the president came before election, and because of the problem that they knew that the ANC is not going to win, and Tigwini is one of the second biggest regions in the country, and they're losing power, and that's what happened to them in the last the election now. So the president came down, and he appointed Buthelezi as well as Mike. Now, Mike then went and brought Mike Sutcliffe to assist to finalize all the issues and do a report and everything else. So when Ramaphosa came down, they brought in Mike to oversee, and they brought in under the 154 to oversee to the whole thing. Now, so therefore, you want to have two reports. One which we started originally when the implementation of 154 section was implemented. We started that report, and then President Ramaphosa brought his team, Buthelezi, Mike Sutcliffe, and his whole team to come and oversee to make sure that the city runs properly under the 154. So that's where the duplication is. You are 100% right. There is two sets of reports. Now, what happened in government, Molana? Now, they deliberately did this to get two reports and all that. Now, one report is not talking to the other report. This report is not talking to this report. So that's where they made it like a fruit salad. Now, for them to come out of the whatever wrongdoings and all that. So when President Ramaphosa appointed his team under the Section 154, that is the actual report need. Now we are waiting in council level to read that report, which we do not have the councillor like me. I'm a councillor of the city. I haven't even seen that report yet. So there's a meeting coming out on this coming Thursday. That maybe it's going to be tabled there. I'm not sure. Once that report comes out, then we will be in a much better position for next week's radio. We'll be able to tell our community what is the report, what they have found in the city is not right, or what they haven't done, and where the money went. All that will be tabled in that report. And that's what the report I'm waiting for, and the community is waiting for. So the one report you write, one report is out, the other report is not talking to the other report. So there's a big confusion. Now we are waiting for the report of 154 that was brought in when Ramaphosa appointed his team. That is the report we want to see. The last question of yours, Musa Imbele, that, you know, in council, Molana, and in the ANC, you know, there's two parties. One, you've got the Ramaphosa's party, and then you got the Zuma party. Now, the Zuma party split and they went away to MK, but that was the party. So people, we used to still respect Zuma, and that is the party. So there was two parties in council and in government, and that up till today is still there. If they call, any one of them call a conference, even MK call a conference, and if AMC call a conference tomorrow and they're ready for a conference, I guarantee you one thing, you can write it on the wall, Ramaphosa will not see the daylight. They'll bring somebody else immediately, and then he will be out of the president, and they'll bring somebody else. That is
where... Yeah, you see, the big issue is whoever is bringing up this issue of duplication, you know, why is it only now they are talking about duplication? You know, when the president wanted to set up this, couldn't they mention it then? But we already got this Section 154 team, you know, that is doing the work. We're not in need of this. It's just going to be a waste of money. At that time, nobody spoke about it. It's only now that somebody's bringing up this issue.
They know everything. You see, in government, they know everything, but they play like drunk. They're like nothing happened. They keep it very, very, very tight about everything because they know now if Ramaphosa's team will come, they are going to do utter due diligence. And a lot of things going to be unraveled. That's why all of them work together there. It's like a mafia thing in council too. You know, you rub my back, I rub your back, and you keep quiet. Otherwise, you want to be out of your job, and you know what? We will expose you and everything. So, you know, there's a whole scenario of things they have to take into place. Now, they knew Ramaphosa was coming with his team. There was long meetings on Sunday and right went up to Monday morning regarding this issue about 154. They knew, you're 100% right. They knew this once the province have already put it into place. They said that, okay, they'll disband the one that province told them and they will work on the Ramaphosa's new 154, Section 154. But they ignored it. Now, what they did was, now to come out of all the chakkar, they said, now, you know what, let's send both the reports now. So now, it's a confusion. But the actual report is the one that Ramaphosa's team, Buthelezi, Mike Sutcliffe, everyone who done that report. That is the report we want to see. We're not interested in any of the other reports. That's what we want to do. And we want to be very vocal in this coming week's meeting regarding that is concerned.
Now, even if, you know, something comes out of it, whatever is reported there, you know, all the shortcomings and deficiencies in the whole process of running the city, do you think in your experience as a councillor, they're going to set up, you know, task teams to put things right? Or it would be just something, it would just be a talk shop?
Well, no. From after election, I think the biggest lesson that the ANC, the ruling party at that time, they've never learned a lesson like that. Because, you know, previously they said ANC will rule the country till Jesus comes. So, you know, so based on all that, they were pretty sure they will be still controlling most of the provinces in the country. And you saw exactly what happened. It went the other way around. So now they got a big wake-up call. And they can't afford to put one foot wrong. They are trying their utmost best, the ruling party, no more the ruling party, now the GNU, the ANC is trying their utmost best because they only got 28 months before the next election in 2026. And if they show a very bad showing in the local election, in the municipal election, across the country, then you must know it. ANP is going to be history. They were not going to be. Eventually, it'll be just like another party. There will be no ANC. What Mandela fought for is all going under the wayside, and that is going to be happening. And so that is their biggest fear, and that's why they started cleaning up. And we can see in council level, you can see even in service delivery, you can see electricity is more or less not safe. I would say 100% sorted out, but 90% has been sorted out. You've got no load shedding because there's no more job losses because of electricity. Now, the biggest issue, they are busy working at the moment. They're working 24-7 to get your water delivered to your doorstep. And that is where they're working full out. And it's happening. I can see the reservoirs they're working towards that to get that thing repaired, like what they did with Eskom and everything else. So that's where we are. So they are also very, very scared, especially this city. If Ramaphosa's that report comes out on section 154, and if he's not happy, and if he implements section 139, so the city, we will have, you know, nobody will have any say. We can vote and everything, but the end result, the main decision maker will be the national government. So that's what they are scared of, and that's what they are very worried about, what that report is going to talk, and that is the issue they are being faced with. If that happens, the city manager is gone, finished, Kalas, he'll be history. There will be the mayor, he'll carry on with his work, the deputy will carry on, teacher, everything will carry on as it, but the main decision making will come from national government, and that is where the issue is, and that's what they are worried about at the moment.
I'm not aware whether you read the article in the tabloid, the Gazette, about a meeting between ratepayers and the mayor. You know, if there is any info you could share about that, because the way the tabloid put it, that there seemed to be some positivity about this meeting.
Well, last week at the Moses Mabida, they were last Friday, I think it was, yes. And I was not available. And yes, there was a meeting with all the rate player, role players, all the civic and the rate payers as well. And in this case here, yes, this mayor who we got at the moment, very, very good mayor we got. We, you know, he knows Mr. Nkulu, is very, very upright guy. He's a well-spoken guy. He is a man can deliver. And that's why they posted him here to come and lead the city so that they'll be able to then make sure we get the service delivery. And what he has spoken, yes, some of the ratepayers association were not happy because of various reasons. And I don't blame them. You know, if you're paying rates and if you're not getting service delivery, so obviously you're not going to be happy. So, but on the long and the short of this whole thing, of the meeting last week, yes, a lot of good came out. And then some of the ratepayers association were not happy, and they came hard on him. Some of them really, really came very hard. And during the week, I had a chat with him. He said, hey, Karu, some of your members are, you know what I mean, they're not disciplined, and they got no respect. And I don't think, you know, even if you are a chairman of a ratepayers association, you know, you need to, you know, to get work done, Molana, you know, they say, my father taught me, sometimes a donkey, you make him your father. You talk to him nicely, you get things done. And that's how you get things done. You know, if he's a sweeper too, you greet him, and if you've got 20 cents in your pocket too, you give it to him, you know, he'll respect you. You know, so like that, you have to be in a meeting. He didn't call up a meeting. He came, we called up a meeting to give feedback, what is happening in the city, how are we going to give the remedy? So don't come and attack. You know, by attacking, you're not going to get anything. You can only do so much. In 1 liter of bottle, you only can fill 1 liter of water. You can't fill 2 liters in 1 liter bottle. It's just like that. So everything has to take its place. I mean, it's a process. You have to follow the rules. You have to follow the we got system management system act we have to follow. We have to do it accordingly. The tender has to go up. We need to make sure the proper due diligence is being done. Then only the work can carry out. But the work is carrying out at the moment. As you speak, in fact, one day if you tell me, we got a by-election in Slanga on the 11th. After that, you give me a call, Morana. I will take you to some of the places. We will do inspection. I will show you what is coming up. Yes. We have a problem at the moment. The raw sewage is still the big issue that is going through to the river, to the sea, and in Amstanda, people cannot swim there. Yes, but they're working on it. End of the day, the main thing, if you're working on it, yes, we got leaks all over the show at the moment. The whole city is leaking. We're losing like 50% of our water, which we pay to Amgeni Water. But that we're working on it. This, we must also, people need to understand. And, you know, I'm not taking because I'm a counselor and I'm getting paid from the counselor, from the city, that I'm taking their part or anything. You know, you call a spade, the city. The issue is we did inherit from the apartheid government infrastructure, yes, I accept that the ruling party did not maintain, did not serve us. That's where our issue is, and that's where the problem is. Now, the thing is, this also in the last 30 years, don't all the ratepayers and what, don't start jumping now. At that time, in fact, only some of these ratepayers and have only sprung up now. Previously, there was few, in, mainly in the white areas and all, in our areas and all, there was no ratepayers. When I came here in 2021, I formed in Musgrave, I formed the Ratepayers Association. I said, if you want to get things done, form the Ratepayers Association. And that's how we start getting things done. So now all of a sudden, we are demanding, yes, we are paying, we want service delivery, fine, I accept that. But at the same time, we also took two either downs and slept and say, you know what, things will happen. No, we never follow up from that time as well to make sure we get everything what we are paying for. Now it comes to a crunch. Now everybody is jumping. Yes, they will jump, but there's not much you can do, but it's taking place. We are fixing the infrastructure as we are going along. Take from here, give it another 5 years, Polana. I'm telling you, the things will start looking, and the issue is the work is carrying on at the moment, and that's the principle. We, you know, we got rid of 120 buses that were sitting in the workshop where it's not worth repairing them. We took a decision in council, these buses, put them, you know, in the old driving in the near the beachfront, near by the ice ring. We put all 120 buses there. We got Ian Wiles and whoever other auctioneers. We auctioned all those buses. They're gone. Finished. So same thing with cleaning up from all the other departments. No use to be. Jim Malana.
Yeah, it seems like tar is still a problem. Because you must have passed through that intersection, Randall's Road and Sparks Road, where Sparkport Pharmacy is. They dug up there probably a month ago, and until now that place is not repaired.
Okay. Molana, this is an issue, you know, I need to make our community understand. Say you dig by Shifa Hospital in Randall's Road. When you dig that, when there's a pipe leak, they fix the pipe. Once that pipe is fixed, there's a team that will come and close that. They'll close it, they'll put it right to the top, and they'll open the road again. You cannot tar it 2 days, 3 days later. You have to wait at least a week or 10 days, or maybe in some cases more. That soil has to settle, because what will happen is, you pump back it now and you try it today. 1 week, 2 weeks, 10 days down the line, you'll find that whole road is curving in. Then you're going to have major, more problems. Somebody's cars want to go into that ditch. Because what happens, the soil then settles down properly. Then only we can do it. So a lot of people come and tell me, you know what, they dug here today, they repaired the pipe, why that thing was not tar. You cannot tar it. That's the problem. It's like when you pour concrete, you can't start putting your bricks after, give it about 4 or 5 days. Once it's settled down properly, and then they put water on it, you know, the contractor will come, you'll host it, a lot of water will come. Once that has settled down properly, then you start doing the building. Otherwise, you're going to find that the foundation also is sinking. That's where, this is what happens. You'll have a sinkhole and all these things. You know, when you find in some of the road, all of a sudden, there was cars. How you find that thing now sunk and the road comes up again? Now, that's where the problem is. So we have to understand that. But yes, I must say, they should do, when they close that hole, they should do a proper compacting so that you don't have a problem down the line. That's what I'm saying, Bolana.
Now, something else. I find, you know, in what I observed, the areas that I drive through every day, that outside Shifa Hospital there, opposite Shifa Hospital, and outside Ripon Road Primary School, pipes are always bursting there. Is it not due to using labor that comes cheap?
Very, very good question, Molana. You know, who stuffed our entire city infrastructure and electricity infrastructure is this, when they gave, you see, the biggest mistake the city made before my time, before I joined council, they went and gave these guys that for optic fiber laying in every street, your road, every single road, they put optic fiber. Optic fiber, so you won't need, with one cable, you can use your Wi-Fi, your electricity, everything on one cable. So that is a good thing. Internationally, it was done about maybe 40 years ago. We changed now and put this. When they started digging, they buggered our total infrastructure. They, you know, when you hit asbestos pipe and you leave a hole there, so sand gets into it, and then your pipe bursts because now you're putting big pressure when you open valve, when you got a leak, say, where you're saying about Randall's Road by near Shifa Hospital, one leak, you find water is gushing out. They have to close maybe 3 or 4 valves before they can get to that repair. That's how it is. So this is, the issue was, these guys who came and laid the optic fiber cables, they damage our infrastructure in terms of the water and electricity. That's where our biggest problem. And they have accepted, in council we have accepted, this is what happened. Now what I'm doing, I'm going 2 steps back. I am saying to council, I want to know who was appointed, because the council appointed managers in all the areas where they were laying that. So when you're paying somebody, what that guy was doing, so we bring him to book now. That's what I'm doing at the moment.
Okay, Jazakumullah khair al jaza for your valuable time this morning. And regarding last week's podcast, I sent it to you while we were in the process of this program. Inshallah, we will talk again next week. And may Allahu Azza wa Jalla, you know, bless you for the service that you are doing. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Brother Ahmad Parak, who is quite involved with all issues related to the Muslim burials in the city, and he is also a counselor.